Welcome back to Epilogues, an unpacking of the weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This week we are learning the Haftarah of Parshas Truma, and this is about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Our Haftarah takes us to Melachim Aleph, Perek Hei, Pasuk Chofov, to the beginning of Perek Vov, up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. The first part of our Haftarah, really, which is the end of the fifth chapter in Melachim Aleph, really talks about how Shlomo HaMelech starts the enterprise, starts building the Beis HaMikdash. So we hear that Hashem gives wisdom to Shlomo, as he had promised, because that was what Shlomo had asked for a heart which understands. And he has this peace with Hiram, this fellow who's a ruler in the northern kingdom of Phoenicia, and it describes how they made an alliance in terms of trade in order to be able to facilitate the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We hear about the tax rotations of Shlomo HaMelech at the beginning of the Torah. So we hear about the fact that he has 70,000 of the nation of Israel who are working. There are 30,000 people in different rotations that are moving on. 1 month they are quarrying and logging, and then they are home for 2 months as well. And it describes how there's the people who are cutting and the people who are transporting. And this is the tax is not just the money necessary for this effort, it's also the time and the energy that people essentially get their jury duty. They receive their communal responsibility and they are sent off on commission of the king. And this is how it works. We also hear about how both the workers of the Shlomo and the workers of Hiram work together in order to bring the materials to the land of Israel. Therefore, not for now, but it's worthwhile investigating that very interesting alliance between Israel and Phoenicia. Hiram is up in Tyre and Sidon. Those are the two main Phoenician ports where today is Lebanon. And this is Lebanon. Even today, the flag of Lebanon, the country today, has that tree in the center. It's two red stripes. In the center of the white stripe is a green tree. That tree is the Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon, and those are the cedars in Arazim that they were quarrying, or and the rocks they were getting from up north were coming down to the Beis HaMikdash from that very naturally rich country, which was partly Israel and partly Phoenicia at the time. Now, we hear then, as we move into the next chapter, about the actual making of the Mikdash, and we're told a very important date. We're told that the time that they're able to start making the Beis HaMikdash is 480 years from the time of Exodus, from the time that Israel leaves the land of Egypt. And it starts in the second month. It's called Chodesh Ziv in those days. This is before the Babylonian counting, which would be called Iyar, but it's called Ziv, and that is when Shlomo HaMelech starts building the Beis HaMikdash. Why are we counting from Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Rav David Feinstein, in his commentary on the Haftarah called Kol Dodi, points out that we already know that Exodus, the leaving of Mitzrayim, is very much connected to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, that is the beginning and the end of the Dayenu. The 15 steps are Yetzias Mitzrayim leading to building the Beis HaMikdash in the land of Israel. We see this is Mikdash Hashem Konanu Yodecho. In the Shir HaSayam, we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lead us to being a building of Mikdash. The two are very much connected, and so the Tanakh is connecting them in a time count. This is an important number because it helps us square away other numbers that are important as well. Now, Barbanel does make a very fascinating point over here that it is 480 years from leaving Mitzrayim to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And being as we know that this Beis HaMikdash lasts 410 years and there's 70 years of exile before the next Beis HaMikdash is built, then that means to say that from the beginning of the building of the first Beis HaMikdash to the beginning of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash under Zerubbabel, the completion of it, is also 480 years, which means to say that there's a marker between Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader bringing Israel out of Egypt, Shlomo HaMelech being the leader and building the Beis HaMikdash, and Zerubbabel being the leader and building the second Beis HaMikdash. These are sort of time cycles in the Jewish calendar, which are very important as well. It is also worthwhile noting that it takes Shlomo HaMelech 4 years from becoming king to start building the Beis HaMikdash, even though if you read Dira Yamim, you will see that David HaMelech in Perek Chof Beis, Dira Yamim Aleph, gives Shlomo HaMelech everything he needs, all the wherewithal. He collects the taxes, he has the money, he has the wood, he has the provisions. So why is it precisely that David HaMelech that Shlomo HaMelech does not take the provisions given by David HaMelech in order to be able to start building the Beis HaMikdash? That's the question that's asked. And the Mefarshim try to deal with this, and one suggestion is that it may in fact relate to the idea that Shlomo to the fact that David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the seemingly explicit reasons in Tanakh and Dvarei Hayamim is the fact that David HaMelech was Yodecho Damim Aleihu, your hands are full of blood. A lot of his profits, a lot of David HaMelech's gains came out of war. And so therefore David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. It seems that Shlomo HaMelech wants to build it from his own acquisitions, from his own trade. He doesn't want to rely on David HaMelech, and that's interesting because when it comes to this, it is fascinating that it's almost like a continuation that David HaMelech's reach is not going to be allowed to reach that. So we see from here Shlomo HaMelech not wanting David to use the money that his father amassed, even though it was made for the Beis HaMikdash, because perhaps it came from the proceeds of war itself as well. We now move on to the next thing, which is the next section, which is about the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. The dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, we hear a very basic overview over here, that there are these sections of the Beis HaMikdash. There's the Ulam, there's the hallway, there's really three chambers, the entranceway, the main section, and the Kodesh HaKodashim. And we hear that the house is 60 amos, 60 cubits in length, 20 in height, and 30, 20 amos in width, and 30 amos in height as well. That's the main chamber of the Ulam. And we then hear about the walls and the windows. The windows are Chalonei Shekufim Atumim, which we'll deal with, which sounds like opaque and transparent windows. We then hear about the fact that there are these Yetzios, rooms which are found in the walls of expanding width. Each of the three levels is slightly wider than the one below it at the bottom. And and we hear about how the stones that are for the Beis HaMikdash are Even Shlema Masa Nivne. These smooth, full stones, ones which were garzen, were called Kli Barzel, Loi Nishma Bebayis Bimarasai. There was no axe, there was no grinding, there was no cutting heard on the Beis HaMikdash as well. So let's just deal with a few of those things. What is special about the windows? It sounds like over here that as opposed to regular windows, as the Gemara points out, Rashi quotes this, is that the windows would widen outwards, meaning that the frame of the window in the inside was smaller than the frame on the window on the outside, so it would slant outwards, which is unusual because if you want the light to come in, you would slant it inwards. You would make it wider on the inside so more light comes in, and so therefore Rashi points out, quoting the Gemara, Loi la'oira anitzarech, I don't need it for light. It's almost as if the light is coming from the inside out. That seems to be the way that it seems to be going over here. However, the Abinel points out that perhaps there's another way of reading this, and that the word shakuf is that it means transparent, you could see, lahashkif, and atum means it's opaque, you can't see it. So how can you have a window which is both shakuf and atum? How could it be transparent and opaque at the same time? So Abinel gives a few suggestions. He says that it could be semi-opaque, that it could be that you could only see from it in a certain way outwards, like sort of like a one-way mirror. He also suggests that maybe the windows are made at an angle, so you could see outwards at a particular angle, but by walking by the side of the building, you wouldn't be able to see in. So there's various other options that Babinel suggests as to understanding what this concept means as well. Another question we could ask here is, what does it mean they did not cut the Beis HaMikdash with chopped stones? So if you go to the end of Parashas Yisro, the Torah tells us, Mizbeach HaWanin Ta'aseli Lo Sivneis En Gozis, you're not supposed to make the stones of the Mizbeach cut stones, Ki Charbucho Hanavta Aleva Techalaleha, because you waved your sword upon it and made it and desecrated it as well. In fact, the Mishnah in Midos tells us that barzel, metal implements which are used for killing, are not allowed to be used in cutting the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? So how does that work? I mean, was everything perfectly sized, and that's how they got it? So one possibility that we very famously are aware of is that they used, as the Midrash describes, this implement or this worm or this material called the shamir, which would cut the stones without using metal. However, if you read the Gemara in Talmud actually says, quoting the opinion of Abaye, that what this meant is that not that they never used metal, but they never used metal in the precinct of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the cutting all happened in the quarry. Everything was made before arriving at the Beis HaMikdash, and then when they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, they simply put it into place. The point was that the Beis HaMikdash was not going to be a place where you wave barzel. That would all happen outside as well. An interesting extra halach is learned from this as well. The Shnei Luchos Abris, the Shlach HaKadosh points out that that's the reason why one should remove the sakin, the knife, from the table when benching, because time on benches, one says Berakha Samos, and one is elevating the table to be a mizbech, and that, and we know that you can't have metal implements, knives, on the mizbech, so we remove the knife at the time of benching as well. Just interesting halacha we learn from here as well. We finally hear at the end of the Mahatara, the last two psukim are the condition of occupancy, where Hashem tells Shlomo, "Habayis asher azeh asher ta'abone, im te'lech v'chukosai v'smishwatai ta'aseh, if you're going to follow my laws and statutes, v'shamartas kol mitzosai l'oleches bohem, v'akimosiyas devari itroch asher dibarti el dovid avicha. I'll keep my word with you like I explained and kept with David HaMelech. However, shachanti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yezov esami Yisrael, and then I'll never leave Israel." And this sounds very reminiscent of what we hear both in Parshas Truma, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Asu l'migdash shachanti b'socham," and also in Parshas B'chol Kosai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Im b'chol kosai te'alechu, v'tzis m'osai tishmor," if you keep my commandments and my mitzvahs. Then, in such a case, at the end of that whole episode, in B'chol Kosai, it says, "Anosati mishkani b'sochem lo sigal nafshi yaschem," I'll place my mishkan among you, and I will tour among you. That's what seems to be said. So, as Rav Hirsch points out in the Torah, that there's two directions over here, which perhaps are connected to the words Migdash and Mishkan, which are the topics of both the Parsha and the Haftarah. Migdash is Mekadesh, what we do to sanctify the place. So, you know, if we make a place, we make a Migdash, also li Mikdash, you make me a sanctified place. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I will make a Mishkan." Mishkan comes from the word Shechina, that Hashem will dwell among us. If we make space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will join us in that space. And that's the conditions over here. Hashem will be here as long as we want to make the space for Him. And that's the conditions of occupancy, which Shlomo Melech heard, which ultimately Zerubbabel heard, and Be'ezra Hashem we will hear upon the building of Bais Shlishi B'Mehar Yom. And have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbat.